Welcome to Teaching Restored, where we help gospel teachers teach better the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard.
And we talk all things gospel. And whether it is gospel teaching, and whether it is a gospel lesson, or just a gospel discussion with someone, or missionaries, or parents, or all of that. We all want to just be better teachers, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, I would assume so. If we have a calling, I would assume that we don't just go in and teach and we're done and we don't ever think about it again, but that we think, okay, you know, maybe I want to be a little bit better.
Right. Maybe.
I hope so. Okay. So we're going to get into that, but let me stop. Okay. Hold on.
Hold on, Julie.
You. When you would take a test in school, and it was a big test, let's hearken back to the days of test taking. As our kids right now, we were just talking about our kids doing AP tests this week. Blah. And the study that they have to go through for that. There's a lot there, right? So I want you to think back to some of the most difficult tests you had to prepare for, the ones that you really had to dive in, right? Tell me what that looked like and what you're feeling during that time.
Anxiety, stress, every minute consumed by it, can't stop thinking about it, dreading it, hating it, having a hard time getting started on the studying. Feeling like I just wanted to go into the kitchen and get a snack instead of studying, moving from place to place to try and study, getting mad at people that were distracting me, including my roommates, getting mad because I hated the library because it was too quiet, and I would get annoyed because I kept seeing people that I wanted to talk to. I'm a bad test taker. I don't like tests. I don't like having to regurgitate information. My brain hurts. Am I doing okay?
Wow. I did not expect all that, but that was great.
I was in feelings. When Todd and I first got married, he used to still have nightmares about his dental school exams, stuff like that. Like he'd literally wake up and be like, he's a talker in his sleep. He'd be like, and I'm like, what is happening? And he was dreaming about a test. And like, he didn't have his notes or he forgot to wear pants or whatever. Like all of these traumatizing things around test taking.
So, okay, test taking. But I want to talk about getting prepared for the test. So you,
all of it, it's
all of that, right? Right. Okay. So to alleviate some of that, because I mean, you could focus on that, but you have to focus on the content. You have to focus on, okay, I gotta learn this stuff, right?
I get obsessed with it.
What would you do to study? What kind of habits did you have, or what would you do to do the actual study itself?
Best thing I would do is work with someone else who understood it and talk about it.
That's great.
So that was my number one best thing. If I could make the time to do that and actually work through it so that I comprehended it instead of just memorizing it.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest things. And quizzing myself, flashcards. So I had a lot of strategies.
You did. Okay. So let's even get a little bit more granular. Let's say you're by yourself. Okay.
And
you need to study. And where are you when you do that?
Quiet place. And like I said, I'd have to move quiet places sometimes.
Okay.
Because, you know, if people were talking to me, humans, rude.
Whatever.
Yeah. So I was in a quiet place.
Okay.
I couldn't be on my bed because I'd fall asleep. Right. So, you know.
Okay. Yep.
And then what else? You asked that. What else do you want?
Yeah. So tell me, okay, so you're in a quiet place. So I'm assuming not only quiet so you can think, but also so there's not distractions. It's kind of what I heard in both of those, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that you can concentrate on one thing. Was there a specific time that you would do that?
Not late at night because I'd fall asleep.
Right.
So I'm a better morning studier because my mind's a little bit clearer once I wake up and I move my body for a minute, sometimes like right after I'd exercise. Here's another thing I would do. I have to have all my stuff there, because if I had to go get a resource, like, we didn't have all of it at our fingertips the mm-hmm. way that we do now.
Right.
So I would try and like say, okay, I'm going to study for econ. And so here is my textbook. Here are all of my notes. What else could I possibly need? And I would want that there in front of me, because if I had to get up to go find it, I would get mentally distracted.
That's good. I love that. I want to take what you just said, all of that, everything that you mentioned about the how of studying, right? Maybe not the, oh my goodness, I hate it, right? That part.
You don't want that part? That part was in your favor?
No. That I will get back to that, actually. I will get back to that. But I want to focus right now on the how and the place and the why, you know, less distraction, et cetera, and talk about scripture study.
Okay. I genuinely did not know where you were going. Let me try and articulate that again instead of just, I genuinely did not know where you were going to go when you started asking me about test taking. And I started to get a little bit anxious.
Because
I'm like, are we going to talk about judgment? I'm just kidding. I was like, I just didn't know where you were going to go with it. And so sorry that you got that stream of consciousness.
No, that was actually really good. That was actually really, really good, because we have been asked to study scriptures. And if we equate it, that those feelings of I hate studying, I hate it, I get anxious, right, to studying the scriptures, then why would we ever study scriptures?
Oh, totally.
I mean,
totally.
Right. But at the same time,
do you want me to tell you an honest feeling that I used to have about studying the scriptures?
All right, let's hear it.
So I used to feel, how do I describe this? Like I wouldn't allow myself to do certain things until I checked it off my list. And that was kind of a self-discipline thing for me.
Okay.
And so I'd kind of eye roll. I'd be like, oh, dang it. I still haven't read my scriptures. And just because I'm a really disciplined person. And so I would kind of say that I have to do certain things before I can do these things that are a little bit more rewarding. And so it used to be an obstacle that I had to overcome.
That makes sense. And yeah. I've had the same thoughts as well. Every now and then, yeah. I still have. Like right. When I've got a 7 a.m. meeting that actually starts at 6:30 a.m., I typically do my studying in the morning.
Yeah.
I get up, I get dressed, I shower, get dressed, and then I come into my office and I study scriptures. That is my normal routine. But, you know, if it's 6:30, I typically don't get up at 5 so I can do that. I just think, okay, I'll do it later. And then when I do that, it becomes more of a checkoff.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got to do that.
That makes sense.
Right?
Yeah, I totally get it.
Try not to make it in my mind to ever go there, but it does. I think yeah, that's very natural, right? I've got to read my scriptures. Why? Because I was told that when I read my scriptures, I'll feel the spirit and I'll get there eventually. And I'll love this.
Wow. That Kevin voice is weird.
But it's true, right?
Right.
We hear that.
Legit.
Legit.
It's totally legit.
That's what's in the back of my head sometimes. Or I hear that from teenagers. I'm just going to do this. And it's a real thing. So I want to talk about studying the scriptures. Why? Actually, so one thing I want to point out. We hear we should read the Book of Mormon. We should, but we also hear about study. Now, there's a difference between reading and studying. Mm-hmm. What can give me your articulation of the difference between reading and studying?
I can tell you what it looks like for me. So reading is to get through it and to get a storyline and kind of just, for me, studying is really meditating on it, processing what's being said, looking for questions to ask, looking for more understanding, seeking the spirit. And I feel like you can actually seek the spirit and still read. I don't want to discount that at all,
right?
Because reading the scriptures as well as study invites the spirit into your life. So just get into the scriptures, right? However, what shifted for me in terms of my love for the scriptures was when I wasn't reading them anymore and I tried to study them. Mm. That's when it shifted for me.
Really? Good.
Big time. I love that.
Huh. Okay. So let me read a quote from, if I can find the right one. I've got a few quotes I'm going to be reading here. Okay. This is from Mark L. Pace.
Okay.
I should have looked this up and I didn't, but Mark L. Pace was the Sunday school general president, I think, or in the presidency.
Correct? Young men's or Sunday school. Was he Sunday school? I don't remember.
I'm going to have to look it up. Darn it.
Here, don't look it up. You read the quote. I'll look it up.
Sunday school general president. Yeah, he was.
Oh, okay. You got it. You're smart. Yeah.
Before he was just, I think he was just released. So he says in this is the April 24 conference talk that he gave. We call it study, and that's good because it implies effort. But we don't always need to learn some new fact. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop there for a second. Going back to the last podcast we recorded, and if everyone listened to the last one, we talked about getting out of our own way. I think when we have lists, we get in our way of actually what we're trying to do, right? Mm-hmm. If we're studying the scriptures, you mentioned it, we're trying to feel the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make connections. We're trying to come closer to Christ through that. And instead of just doing a checkoff. So it isn't always just learn some new fact. If you don't learn anything new, that's fine. Did you feel the Spirit?
Right, right.
Right. That's really what we're trying to aim for. And the mm-hmm. other, I think, will come along. Sometimes reading the Book of Mormon is just about feeling connected to God today. Okay, there we go.
Right.
Nourishing the soul, being strengthened spiritually before heading out to face the world, or finding healing after a rough day out in the world.
Right, right, right.
So the study, I think a lot of people look at the study like, I am going to study because I'm going to learn where Zarahemla was. I'm going to find on the map where it was, or I'm going to learn all these facts and just be all these, do all these different things when it's, no, the purpose, what is the purpose of study? What are we really trying to do? We're trying to feel the Spirit. We're trying to be taught by the Spirit what Heavenly Father wants us to be taught. And to do that, it takes real study though. Right? It is. Go ahead.
What you're saying is that it depends a little bit on what you're seeking for in your study. Like if you are trying to learn more information and like, I mean, I don't even know if this is what you're getting at, but like prove something or academically approach, mm-hmm. you know, the scriptures versus approaching it spiritually, then we still might be missing the mark, even though we are studying. Is that a little bit what you're saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting. So on Follow Him, I was kind of intrigued by this question that they asked these academicians, is that the right word? Academics, whatever.
Academia.
I just
academicians.
Kind of made up a word.
I love academicians. I'm going to put that. I'm going to put that maybe in the title of this episode.
Stop.
How to be an academician for the gospel.
What was I even thinking of? Why do I make up words? Okay, you know what I mean.
I do.
Stop it. Shut up. So if these
academicians. Yes, I know.
What is the word I'm looking for? Those guys, they would ask at the end, how do you kind of reconcile academics with your, you know, spirituality? And how has being an academician, what is the word I'm looking for? I can't even think of it. Anyway, how do you like reconcile the two? Because sometimes actually those two things are at odds, which is one of the points that I think that they were trying to make. And I hear you saying a little bit right now that sometimes those two things can actually interfere with one another.
Right. I totally believe that. And I think that's because when we hear study, we often think of getting to an academic level, an academician level. Where
shut your mouth right
you're
now.
Never gonna live that down, Julie.
No, I'm not. Why do I do it though? I do it to myself. I just make up words.
It's great.
You knew exactly what I meant, though.
I know.
Right?
I do Thank know exactly you. What you mean. Those you. People who are clearly not us people. We're not academicians. Yeah, right? But
clearly, I do not fall into that category.
But a lot of people think, okay, I got need to get to the academic level. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to really study the scriptures, I don't believe that. I don't believe it's to an, I mean, if you want to, great. I don't think there's anything wrong with it by any means. But I think a lot of people try, put off actual study of the scriptures, thinking that the only way to study the scriptures is to do it on an academic level.
Okay, so this is so interesting. I recently kind of got caught up in this because I get a little bit intrigued by some of the history and some of the academics of it.
Sure.
And being able to put facts and figures and, you know, information together, I love it because I love things fitting into the puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, it's kind of cool when you can say, for example, oh, I know where this is. And it's not like a proof of the Book of Mormon, but like, for example, as we're studying a little bit about, oh, we understand the history of Jerusalem. We had the Amalekites there and the Amalekites came over at about the same time. And oh my gosh, we actually know where they ended up because the people from the land of Nephi went up and they discovered the Amalekites. And oh, guess what? Here's the, I'm like, whoa. Like, it's so cool how the story fits together so perfectly. And it's validated by history books about what happened in Jerusalem. Like, nobody's going to argue that Zedekiah was a king in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to argue. And so we're like, oh, it all is fitting together. And that's a really bad example, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That it fits together. And so I would get a little bit hung up on some of those things and wanting to talk about them in class. And what I realized, this is kind of an interesting process for me, is that the only time that it's really necessary for me to go to an academic level is when something becomes an obstacle to me really comprehending what's going on. And for me, sometimes I'll get to a certain point and I just will be like stuck because I can't really figure out how it fits in or fits together. And it used to be that I would just be like, whatever. But then I never made the connections between all of the stories. And so going to a certain level academically, I think is important because then we remove an obstacle. Like, we have to get all fit together for us, or it's kind of a disjointed story, which has less depth, less meaning, less like understanding how all of it actually is connected can deepen your testimony of the Book of Mormon and deepen your understanding of some of those stories. Like, Alma becomes a much more critical, pivotal person when you understand that his impact, one man's impact, lasted like 560 years or 516 pages of the Book of Mormon, because you see, wait a minute, he is connected to all of these subsequent generations that we're going to be learning about in the Book of Mormon. Like, oh, and then you're like, oh, and Abinadi, wow, that was like his only convert. And look, oh, do you see what I'm saying? Like, it can deepen it when you go to a certain level of academics.
Right. I totally agree with that. For example, every now and then I'll look at a word and go, huh, that's interesting. Where else in the scriptures is that used?
Yeah.
And then I'll go to the Hebrew, for example, and I'll say, okay, this is the Hebrew word of that. Where else is that used? And what versions of it are used where, when, and how? And then it does deepen it. I dive into it and I go, wow, that's, I had never thought of it from that perspective before.
Fascinating.
It is okay, fascinating.
Two questions. Actually, one question, one thing. So it's so funny because I'll have friends of mine who will make comments in passing and be like, you know, it's not like, I mean, I'm not like going to go study the Hebrew words and I'm just not like the, you know, I'm going to, and just be like, you know, some of these people just like, you know, dive into the word. And I'm like, I'm totally going to go study the Hebrew. I mean, because to me, that really enriches it. But they're kind of saying, I'm not going to be all academic about it. And it's a little bit of a dismissal. So I don't want to dismiss that completely. The second thing is a tiny bit of a tangent. Where do you go when you're looking for translations of words and Hebrew definitions or Greek definitions? Where do you look?
I have an app that I use.
Tell me that.
It is called, because
I'm just saying, if you're gonna drop a nugget,
the Bible Hub. Yeah,
perfect. I got it too.
You do too.
I just said, if you're gonna drop a nugget, you gotta like drop how you actually do it too, because I think people might be like, oh, where does he look?
Yeah. So, and it's really, it's not like I dive into Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew at all. I don't understand it. It's that I look at a specific word and I think, I wonder how that's used. And I go to the Hebrew and, or the Greek and, oh, look at that. And then it's used in this way. And it's fascinating. Right. Totally. Now, but at the same, so that helps deepen some of my study. However, as we talk about this, some people may be listening thinking, I will never do that. Like you said, right? Some of your friends are like, I will never study that. You don't have to. To study the gospel, you don't have to dive into the Greek and the Hebrew and have that app. And that is our version of what gospel study might be. For someone else, it's different. But let's talk about what's different. What is study? Okay.
Okay.
I think study is not defined by what you do, but by the results of it.
I like that.
This is President Nelson, October 2017. He says, whenever I hear anyone, including myself, say, I know the Book of Mormon is true, I want to exclaim, that's nice, but it's not enough. We need to feel it deep in the innermost part of our hearts that the Book of Mormon is unequivocally the Word of God. We must feel it so deeply that we would never want to live even one day without it. I might paraphrase President Brigham Young in saying, I wish I had the voice of seven thunders to wake up the people to the truth and the power of the Book of Mormon. So I think that study can be more defined by the outcome of, if we are getting to the feeling of, for example, I love the Book of Mormon so much, I can't live without it, I can't wait to dive into it, then we're studying.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be the Greek and the Hebrew and diving into all that. It doesn't even have to be with podcasts or listening to those. It's, am I taking the time? I almost feel like God saying, are you going to take the time with me? I'm here. I am here in the scriptures. Are you going to take the time with me? Are you going to sit down with me and talk to me? And I talk to you through the scriptures. And if we come across, and not every day, I at least for me, maybe for you, Julie, but when I study the scriptures, I don't come out every day going, oh my goodness, that was the best thing ever. It's not that. Every now and then I get that, and I love it when it happens. I love it when I'm taught by the Spirit. But my goal in studying the scriptures is to be taught by the Spirit, not necessarily get into the history. If that's where it takes me, great. If it gets me into the language, great. But that's not the purpose of it. And so I don't want anyone to feel like, you know, I need to study, but I can't get into the history. I don't have the resources. I don't have the books. I'm not studious, not like interested. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being studious and studying the scriptures, all it honestly takes, if you have the Book of Mormon, that is really all it takes. And like you were saying before, when you would study for a test, probably a quiet place. Probably time set apart that is for this. Probably a time that you're awake. I don't know. That could help.
That's a tough one.
Maybe.
I sit down, start reading, I want to sleep. It's kind of a curse.
Yeah, I get it. That's why I get up and I take a shower so I am awake. That helps me get awake, and then I go right to that, and I have no problem staying awake. Now, I will... There is, years ago, I was in a stake priesthood leadership meeting, and we had this incredible stake presidency. I felt like I learned so much from them, and I love them, each of them dearly, still do. And we were, and this was in Beaverton, Oregon. We were, in this meeting, and I have been in several stake priesthood leadership meetings before that, after that. This is the only thing that I really remember. out of all of them.
Fair, fair. Okay.
I remember President Bell. He said something along the lines of, I want you to get your PhD in the gospel. And that has stuck with me. Mm-hmm. That has really, really stuck with me as I need to dive into this. I need to not just read. Reading is okay, right? Like yesterday, I was in Montana traveling back home. It's hard for me, and I needed to be out the door at 6:30, and I was going all day until almost midnight. Mm-hmm. And flying and if during that time, if all I can do is read some, okay.
Totally.
There's not a point from 6:30 a.m. to midnight that I wasn't alone or in an airport or busy people around me. Right. So if I can just get in some reading, great. I may not be able to fully study, but I want to make time when I can to get to the study side of things and get to almost a PhD level. So I started recognizing that the PhD level, again, wasn't about languages. It wasn't about academic books. It wasn't about that. It was me diving in, trying to feel the Spirit and having the Spirit teach me. That is where I think the PhD comes from. Mm-hmm. So another synonym I would say for study is immersion.
Okay.
Right. For us to really study something, we need to immerse ourselves in whatever this is. So let me pull up another quote here. This is Elder Cook. He says, immersion in the scriptures is essential for spiritual nourishment. And do you remember, and I don't have it pulled up, but do you remember President Nelson, one of his first talks as president, he said for us to be, and I'm going to butcher this, and I apologize, but we need, for us to survive.
To survive spiritually?
Yeah.
We need the guiding influence of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. Thank you. That is spiritual nourishment right there. We need to be immersed in the scriptures. So I get backlash from this, and I probably will here too, and that's okay. But I want to make a point, and I think it's important enough to I don't want to say stand up for this, but in a way stand up for this. What is the difference between reading and immersion?
So, I mean, I'm thinking by definition, what it means to be immersed in something, it means to be buried in it, like to be completely, like it's covering every part of you or touching, let's say for the purpose of this conversation, touching every part of you.
I like that.
Versus reading sometimes just touches your mind.
Okay. I don't think there's a correct answer in this, but I just want to get your take on it.
Yeah, I think that... Because when we talk about immersion in the scriptures, I actually have this horrible thing that it's like you get buried by them. And that's not actually what it's supposed to be. It shouldn't overwhelm and overtake you and bury you. But I like the idea of it like touching every part of you, that every part of, when you're baptized by immersion, every part of you is submerged in order to have it be complete.
I like
that. And I think that the scriptures, in order for us to be immersed in them, they become the framework for our paradigm.
That's great.
So they become the way, the lens through which we view the rest of the world, because they become such a part of our thinking.
I love that. Yes. It's not just an immersion in diving into the scriptures, but it kind of wraps around us to, like you said, I don't want to say dictates the feeling. You said it even better though, but it helps
shapes or frames are
the way we think, the way we act. Right. We're always referring back to that because it's always present around us because we're so immersed in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
not that casual reading is bad by any means. It's great. But I think if all we do is casual reading, we're not immersing ourselves in the scriptures. I think we need to go beyond that. If someone starting out casual reading to just, I mean, I think about Kelly when she was baptized and she started reading the Book of Mormon, it was like, oh my goodness. You know, the language is a little bit off, is a little bit different.
Right.
She's trying to get the story down. And so her reading was really reading, and she may even have been immersed to a degree, but I mean, it's just, I'm trying to get my feet under me. Awesome. Great.
Right.
I don't think we need to be at the point of studying and immersion immediately and just jump in like that. We may need to work up to that to get to that point. But I think we eventually do need to get to that point, that to be immersed in the scriptures, to be studying it to a greater degree.
You know, it's interesting because as you're saying all of this, I'm hearkening back to phases of my life where I was not. And honestly, I don't think during some of those phases I was capable of it. I don't think I had a desire. Right. I don't think that my schedule would permit it. You know, there are phases of my life where I've literally had to do the good, better, best and say, well, scripture study is going to look very different for the next 6 months because of what I've got going on in my life than I would like it to look, or that it looked a year ago or whatever. But, and so part of me is kicking against some of what you're saying just a little bit, because I feel like it's a little, it's not going to resonate with some people to say, you've got to be immersed in the scriptures.
I get it.
And so part of what I would love to talk about for just 2 seconds is the idea that this, like everything else, is a process. And it's kind of what you were just barely saying. You were acknowledging that this isn't something that happens overnight. And immersion looks different for everybody. Like for me, I remember the year that President Benson challenged us to read the Book of Mormon. And I was a return missionary and I had not read the Book of Mormon all the way through since my mission. And I think before my mission, I had only ever read it straight through once. I'm not a reader really. And that shocks people when I tell them that, but I knew I needed to read the Book of Mormon more. And so it was always something that kind of hung over my head that I actually felt guilty about, is that I wasn't studying it and reading it more. And my desire was to have a desire, if that makes any sense. And I had to work up to that. And so I remember getting one of those little mini Book of Mormons. My eyes were a lot better back then. And when I was commuting, I intentionally would take public transportation sometimes so that I would have the option of reading the Book of Mormon during that transportation time. And I would make myself read it for a little bit and before I would do anything else. And so, like I told you, you know, it became an obstacle that I would overcome.
Right.
But the irony is that for me, that became an immersive experience because of the fact that it started to frame my thinking a little bit and it started to influence things in my life. And it was a 30-minute thing that went from 0 to 30 minutes in my life. Like, I was not studying the Book of Mormon at that point and went from 0 to 30 minutes. And that was immersive for me. There are days I remember when I was trying to study and I would have 10 minutes, but because I was so intentional about those minutes, whatever they ended up being, if it was 10 or if it was, you know, 30, that those few minutes I was so intentional about, I can tell you that the Spirit fed me during that time because I was so intentional and I was making a sacrifice to make it happen. So that was immersive for me.
That's great.
That's the one thing, is that I think that the goal of immersion is to have it touch every part of you. And that is the gift or the consequence of being intentional.
I like that.
Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. It's fair. Yes. Because if we're intentional, no matter what our, I think that's our heart. The intent comes from our heart, right? And that's what matters the most. It is not that check off things. Did I read a half an hour? Did I, you know, do this? That's good. But you're right. It is the intent. And when we have the intent, I think God looks at that and says, good, I will give you more capability. I will give you more time. I will give you more
desire.
The interest is what I was going to say. But yes, desire
yeah.
to even want to. I mean, because there are people, and I used to be one of these people. It mm-hmm. was me where I didn't really want to read the scriptures. I mean, I just,
it didn't interest me.
No, it did. It did not interest me. It really didn't. In fact, so I got to tell you this little story. This was okay. When I was 15, I think I actually may have been 14, but I don't remember. But I remember that before I could get my driver's permit, my mom said, you have to read the Book of Mormon. And I'm like, okay.
You wanted to drive.
Yeah. Before I could drive, I have to. So I did. And I was in a bunk bed. My brother was above me. I was on the bottom. And on the bottom of the bed, we put cardboard. Well, I took a pen and it was during the summer and I wanted to read the whole Book of Mormon so I could get my permit. And so I would time myself how long it takes to read a page. And then I calculated out how many days, you know, if I read this many days, and I had this all up on the cardboard on my brother's bed. And I would do this and I finished the Book of Mormon and I did it. And it just so happened that my cousin Spencer, he turned 8 years old and he had read the Book of Mormon and finished it pretty much at the same time. And my wonderful aunt said, you both read the Book of Mormon. How cool is that? Why don't you come over and on your bike? Because of course I couldn't drive. So why don't you come over on your bike, get him, and you guys go to the store. I'll pay for you guys to get some ice cream and you can talk about what you learned. Wonderful. So I grab my bike and I head over there and I pick up Spencer on his bike and we go to the store, to the grocery store. And as we're pedaling, I remember this so clearly. We start talking about the Book of Mormon and goes, so what was your favorite part of the Book of Mormon?
You're like,
all of it? Remember that I checked it off up on the bed on the cardboard. I said, wow, I think I said, you know, something along the lines of, you know, there's just so many great parts of the Book of Mormon. I don't know, what was your favorite part? And this 8-year-old told me about his favorite part. And I realized I did this all wrong. This was so, I did it just to check it off and to get it. And that was one of my awakenings of, wow, I need to be much more intentional about this. My 8-year-old cousin whooped my fanny in scripture study. And here am I going on a mission in a few years. And wow, I need to seriously do better in this. It was a great really wake up call for me. And then my study, the way I study has changed over the time and has gotten better and better. But I wasn't like when the state presidency member said, get your PhD in the gospel. I wasn't there.
No.
And I don't think anyone needs it. You're right. It is a process of learning how to study and immersing yourself and the intentionality of it as well. Now, the reason I bring this all up, scripture study, right? We're not talking about teaching the gospel right now. We're talking about studying the gospel. This is why, because Brother Pace, in that same talk, he said, we improve our teaching at church on Sunday by improving our learning at home during the week. If we want to be a better teacher, we need to learn how to learn better. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And it isn't a contest. It isn't, well, you know, I read my scriptures. I heard of, growing up, there was a brother in our stake that I heard will study the scriptures for 6 hours.
Oh my gosh.
I will never be there.
I'll run 6 hours. I mean, when would you play pickleball?
That's a good point.
That's a spiritual priorities. Activity. I mean, come on. I'm just kidding. You know what's interesting, Kevin? So sorry, do you want to finish your thought about that guy? And then I have this thought that just came when you said something about teaching.
Yeah, just real quickly. It's, I will never be there. And yeah. And we can all compare. This isn't about comparison. This is just about taking the next step. This is just, okay, how can I immerse myself more in the scriptures? Because the more I immerse myself, the better in the context of this podcast, the better teacher I'm going to become.
Right. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because I think I wish I could go back and tell my even 25-year-old self, you know, oh, Julie, like if only you knew how much power and capacity and comfort and reassurance and blessings and inspiration right. stuff would come through the scriptures. And then I'm like, but I don't think I would have heard it
no.
from myself at that point. Like you really cannot force this, nor can you be embarrassed about where you are in your yeah. journey. I think that people are a little bit shocked to know that I didn't really start studying the scriptures until I was in my 40s. Mm. And people are like, what? This is not something I have done my whole life. This is not something I've always been good at.
Right.
It's something I have always known I should be better at, but it's not something I've always been good at.
Me too.
And that's an embarrassing like confession to make, but why am I embarrassed about it? I think that that's a relatable thing. I think that more of us than we realize actually wrestle with this a little bit, and that is totally okay. Mm-hmm. The thing that I was going to say about teaching, so Stephen Covey used to talk about at the very beginning of his workshops, he would set up what he called three-person teaching groups. And he would show this statistic, and I remember the graph, and he talked about how much you retain if it's shown to you visually, if it's you know, something yeah. that you have read, if it's something that you have heard, if it's something that you, you know, have experienced, whatever. And the highest one is you retain and learn more if you know you are going to teach it. That was off the charts. And so one of the things that I have done since working for him is I've studied in a way that I'm like planning to teach it.
Yes.
So my goal yes. is to understand it well enough to be able to articulate it. Or if I'm studying, you know, if I didn't have a teaching calling, I remember this thinking to myself, well, I wonder if I should actually plan lessons, even if I'm never going to give them.
That's great.
Just so that I could, or write talks, even if I'm never going to give them. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting. I found myself when I would go through annotating my scriptures in a way that I would go back and be able to reference it for certain topics. And like, even now, if I, you know, am doing something that I feel like could be cool for a talk later, I have a little notebook that I'll sometimes keep notes in that regard, because I view things differently if I know that I'm going to teach them. That's why teaching is one of the greatest blessings that you could ever have in your life, is because you, if you know you're going to teach, you simply learn better. And that, so Stephen would set up these three-person teaching things, and you say, person one, I'm gonna teach a principle, I'm gonna have you teach it to two and three. And they would be like on it, because they didn't wanna look like an idiot when they had to go and teach it, right?
Right.
And then person two, it's your turn to teach this principle. Well, they were on it, and two and three were like, or one and three were like, whew, I can breathe for a minute. I'm not gonna worry as much. Because that's what we do. As a learner, we kind of let ourselves off the hook. Mm-hmm. But I'll have people who will come to my class and say, I'm coming because I have to teach it this next week. And they're engaged. Their comments are insightful and thoughtful.
Sure.
If you know you're going to teach it, you simply learn better.
Okay. I want to give a little hack to that, because I so very much believe in that. But honestly, it's hard to sit down and think, okay, I'm going to read the scriptures and I'm going to pretend I'm going to teach this. Because we start reading and we totally forget that we even had that thought, right?
Right, right. Totally. Yeah, it's hard to do.
So, what I do is, in a way, I teach myself.
Okay.
And the way I teach myself is that I have a book, and I just plain old, it's just a plain, sometimes line, sometimes not. And I write down things that I've learned, and then I'm teaching myself, and I write down the things that the Spirit teaches me. And so in a way, that's a hack, because I'm teaching myself.
Teaching yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, totally. And that way, and it's a really easy way to immerse myself in the scriptures. In fact, just the other day I got stuck on one verse for like a half an hour and I couldn't get off that verse. And I was just writing things down and then looking at the, and those are the kind of times when, you know, that doesn't happen all the time by any means, but when it does, I'm just blown away by what I've learned from one verse. Holy cow. It is so neat.
You know, and there to your point about like taking one verse and writing all these notes. So writing is a neuropsychomuscular activity. So it's involving your brain. It's involving your body. It's involving like your psyche. Like you psychologically have to process it to a certain extent to be able to get it out on paper. And so they say that if you can write things down, your retention, you know, improves as well. But part of it is that if you can figure out how to articulate what it means to you. So instead of just writing down verbatim a note or exactly what it says or just the reference, figuring out how to put your own words to it deepens it in you. And that is part of why, and I said this and I just really feel this so strongly. I kind of would wonder why we did testimony meetings. And I'm like, great, they're supposed to uplift each other. But hearing other people's testimonies sometimes after a kind of, you know, whatever average testimony meeting, you're kind of walking away going, okay. And sometimes you're like, oh, this is the greatest meeting ever. But I started to wonder, I'm like, really, what's the purpose? Like, why do we do this once a month? And why don't we do it in relief study? Why don't we? Oh. And the conclusion that I've come to is that we can think things in our minds and think we understand them. But when we are forced to put words to them, we understand it better. Because part of it is that we catch ourselves in our misunderstandings. We find gaps in our understanding. We find gaps in our beliefs. We basically have to go through this whole like filtration process to be able to put it into words.
Yes.
That allows us to really kind of have, it forces us to solidify it in a way.
Right.
And so like I will read a book and I'll come across names that I'll pronounce them a certain way in my brain, but because I've never read it out loud, it's just there in my brain. And then I'll go to read it out loud. Someone will be like, I have no idea how to say this, but it was so clear in my mind. I think our testimonies are that way too. We can read it, we can say it, we can whatever. And it's so clear in our mind. But then when we're forced to actually put words to it, whether it be through writing or articulating, we simply understand it better.
I cannot tell you how true that is. As I write things down, I start articulating things that I have never been able to talk about before. I have feelings or put things together, make connections that I have never made before because I'm writing it down. So I write these things down, right? Another way I do this at the same time, and this is just me though, and this is kind of an obsession I have and I don't know that it's a healthy obsession, but it is an obsession that I don't want to say obsession because that's too strong, but it's a frame of sometimes how I read my scriptures. I sometimes read the scriptures as if someone from another faith were asking me the question and asking me to defend why I believe this.
Oh.
So I'll read something and then my thought process will be, if so-and-so from another faith read this, that would probably confuse them and they would not understand why we would believe that. Why do I believe that? And then so I start writing down and I start articulating to myself, really to this person, why I believe that. And that has opened up the articulation factor like 100%. I mean, it's been unreal. In fact, recently I saw on Facebook someone, it was just a quick post. It was something along the lines of, the commandment to love God does not conflict with the commandment to love others. Mm-hmm. And I read that and I said, true. But there's something wrong with that. That isn't quite right. And so I started writing about it and started trying to formulate my thought and pulling in scriptures about, you know, God loving and man loving and all this stuff. And I finally can explain it now in a coherent fashion where before I just assumed that. I said, yes, that's true. And now I realize actually that's not true.
Okay.
But it is true, but it's not true. But it is true, but it's not, right?
It's more complicated.
It's things a lot are more complicated. Yes.
Right. Which in all candor, unfortunately, things are almost always a lot more complicated than we understand. And that when we're just reading something, we get simplicity on the near side of complexity. When we study something, we can get to simplicity on the far side.
That's exactly it. And then as we study and learn that, and as we go into a classroom or we're talking with our kids, we're talking with someone of another faith and they ask a question and we can give them the answer on the other, the simplistic answer on the other side of complexity. It enlightens their mind because it brings the Spirit in, because you have done the work to go through that. And that's really the study of it, right? It's going through the wrestle. I mean, we go back to, you know, we talked about Enos on a previous podcast a few ago, going through the wrestle, and it's a continuous wrestle of studying. And so again, I don't want anyone to walk away thinking, oh, I'm not doing a good job studying the scriptures. Because if we ever think that, we're comparing, it doesn't matter.
No,
I just want to, and what I try to do is I try to take it, okay, where am I at right now? How can I do a little bit better? But I have to continually do that. I can't do that one time and just get better and be done. I have to continually say, how can I immerse myself more in the scriptures? How can I make them come more alive to me? How can I make the words of the prophets come more alive to me? And I'll tell you, for me, a big realization, I've up until recently, I've thought, you know, this PhD quote, get your PhD in the gospel. So I've been studying. And all of a sudden I realized that if I am going to be a doctor, part of my studying is to actually go do it. It's not just studying the scriptures.
Well, PhD means you do something with what you learn.
Yes. And you go practice it and you hone your skills and you get better and better. So if I'm going to get a PhD in the gospel, and which is the PhD in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is all about love, then I need to go practice that love. It isn't just learning about it. So studying the scriptures has taken on a new dynamic for me recently of, yeah, I always need to love people. Yeah. And my wife is much better at it than I am. But I'm realizing, though, I need to be better. I need to be better. If I'm going to really practice the gospel of Jesus Christ and really understand it, I need to do more loving. I need to, you know, whatever it may be that I'm studying about right then, I need to actually put it into practice.
You need to do your residency as well.
My residency, yeah.
You know what's interesting? As you were saying this, I was thinking, as you were kind of articulating this part at the end here, I was thinking about, so if I'm a teacher, which I am, you are, most people listening to this are in some capacity. If I am a teacher, what I hear you saying is that our goal, or the way that we immerse ourselves in our study, is literally our preparation to teach. Like this is the idea of investing more in it. It, in a very clear, direct way, bears fruit in our ability to teach in any capacity.
Absolutely. 100%. And that's why when we read, where is it? Where do I have it? Oh, teaching in the Savior's way.
Yeah.
Right. And teaching No Greater Call before that, and books like that. It starts off with, to be a great teacher, go study the gospel.
Right.
It starts off with, go practice the gospel. It starts off with, immerse yourself, learn how to love, learn how to, I mean, all these things, right? It doesn't actually talk about the teaching itself. It says, do this first.
Right.
Because when we do that, we will, it's an automatic thing. We will be a better teacher, period. It's going to happen.
Yep. I love it.
Yeah. So,
and
go ahead.
And it's line upon line too, just like everything else.
Yeah, it is.
Like, start where you are. Don't try and take a flying Grand Canyon leap. Like, just start where you are.
And it may take years to get to where you want to go or where you think you should go. And that's okay. That's fine. Take it step by step, but just get better. And as you become better at learning the gospel at home, you're going to be a better teacher.
Better teacher.
It will naturally happen. So
I love it.
All right. So that's all I have. But this is a good reminder for me. I need to continually get better because sometimes I'll get complacent in my study. I'm doing it. Oh, no. Okay. What can I do better? I need to do that myself. So if you would like, share, subscribe, help others become better teachers by studying. And one thing we can do within our families, for example, is to help them. I used to think, I'm going to teach my kids how to study the gospel and make that leap to be where I'm at. No, I need to figure out where are they at and help them take one step more. Julie, you've never thought that before. I know.
No. As you're saying that, I'm like, because I literally just the other day was like, okay, my son's getting ready, you know, to go on a mission. He's going to prepare for a mission. I have one more year to teach him how to study. I was literally just doing that. And I'm like, okay, I have all these pointers. I have all these things in my brain. Fine.
Right.
I'll try and figure out where he is and build on that, Kevin.
That's great. That's all we can do for each other.
I take leaps in my life all the time, though. I'm not very good. I'm great at other people's kids and being like, oh, wherever you are, let's build on. With my kids, I'm like, and this is where I want you to be.
Right. I expect you to be here now with me. Let's ride this horse together. Right here.
Right. What, you don't want a four-hour come follow me session? Why? I don't understand. You got AP test to study for? What? We've got to do come follow me. Let's prioritize that.
Is there anything better than the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, we will learn this.
Nothing's going to bless you more than this.
That's right. They're not there.
Rude. Let's spit when I said that. Sorry.
Thanks everybody for watching and listening. And yeah, share. Go become a better gospel learner and you'll be a better teacher. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Bye.